Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of salvation. Amen? Awesome. I'm so thankful for this great gift of salvation today. At this time, I'm going to ask if Wendy will come on up and give us an update on the event. It was awesome. It was a wonderful time. It was a lot of work. Shelby's listening online. She said she fell asleep and woke up and thought it was time to get ready for church. She slept so hard after the event, and she got up, got ready for church, and then realized it was Saturday night. Hallelujah. So, I mean, we worked hard. Amen? Amen. But glory to God. And so at this time, this is Wendy Hofer.
Wow. What an amazing thing. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. And thank you to all the volunteers. You did an amazing job. You all worked together in unity. It all came across beautifully. There were no hiccups. Thank you, Lord. You know, things try and come at us, but, you know, there's no greater name than Jesus. Amen. Amen. But we got the job done. It was glorious. And to God, we give him all the glory for this event. There was 216 souls, and I believe there's even more than that saved. Praise the Lord. Souls are the currency of heaven. It's the evangelist in me. Come on, Jesus. 741 were in attendance. So that was incredible. That was incredible. All the days on the streets, ministering to the people and handing out flyers, taping flyers. Look what the Lord has done. There was over 3,500 flyers total that we gave out. And look how we could bless the people. Amen. So church, thank you. Thank you for rising up, for doing the work of the Lord, and being willing to give to the community because they were blessed. And thank you, Jesus. Amen, for the opportunity to do this. Someone had given me a verse. His name's Pastor Mark, actually. And it says, John 4:35, that he gave this to me before we went out for the outreach. And it says, say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. So thank you, everyone. You did a phenomenal job. Oh, there was? Oh, wow. Wow, look at that.
Angela, do you have the video? Did you load that?
07.
This is Wendy calling number.
Should be a guy's number. 4395107. Nobody? All right, we're gonna call out one more number here for the guys. 4394992. Oh, did you have a number? Does someone have that number? 4394992.
Just to give you an idea of the scope of how many people were there. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Wendy. It was an awesome time. And Pastor Leonard and Justin, he had to head back home, so he's not here today. But we appreciated all of his help, too. So praise God for the opportunity to serve the community. Thank you, Lord. Let's just go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that this word penetrates into our hearts and minds. Lord, that we get a glimpse of and a deeper revelation and understanding of this great salvation, Lord God, that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And so last week I handed out some handouts with the word saved on it, with the Greek and Hebrew meanings. And if I can have an usher come and get these, please, and if we can get those handed out, I would appreciate that if you need one of them. And awesome, thanks. Roxanne, if you divide these up, and if you need one, just raise your hand. If you have a family member that's normally here but couldn't be here, hasn't been here, I encourage you, give this to them. give this to them, because Jesus was calling us to live in present tense or in this present moment. And the title of the message is Open Your Present. Well, the present is the gift of salvation, but also the present is the moment that God has given us to live in. Double meaning there. Double meaning. Just hand out. I didn't bring as many as I had before, but there should be enough. And if not everyone can have one today, just go ahead and share with your neighbor. But salvation is the all-inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. It is used 119 times in the Old Testament alone. There are over 10 different Hebrew and Greek words that have been translated saved in our Bible. They are used nearly 400 times and are translated by 23 different English words. Here are just some of the meanings of saved. So in the Hebrew, to live, to revive, to make alive, give life, preserve, nourish, quicken, recover, repair, restore, revive, be whole. To free, avenge, defend, deliver, help, preserve, rescue, be safe, bring salvation, get victory. To escape, to rescue, deliver, preserve, safe, and speedily, surely. Defend, deliver, escape without fail, preserve, recover, rescue, save. To hedge about, guard, protect, attend, to keep, mark, observe, regard, reserve, sure. Rescue, deliverance, help, safety, victory. Comes from the root word shava, to be free. Something saved, deliverance, aid, victory, prosperity, health, help, salvation, welfare. And in the Greek, to save, deliver, protect, heal, preserve, do well, be whole. Rescue, safety, deliver, health, salvation, save. To save thoroughly, to cure, preserve, rescue, heal, make perfectly whole, save. Look at all those words in the word meanings. They are action words. Salvation is active in our lives right now. So many times we believe we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and we thank God for that. We thank God for forgiving our sins. We know that in our salvation, there's the past. Our sins are forgiven. But what we often forget is the activeness of salvation that is working in our hearts right now. So God is calling us to live in the presence, which means no longer worrying about what happened in the past. And that's on the next slide, please. Living in the present moment means no longer worrying about what happened in the past and not fearing what will happen in the future. And it means giving your entire attention to what God is doing right now. So it means enjoying what's happening right now and living for today. Because remember, we're living from a place of victory. We are not living from a place of defeat, because we have salvation. We have this gift, and it's active in our lives right now. And so we can enjoy it in the present moment. Otherwise, if we don't, if we're thinking about other things, it just robs us of truly living the life that God has ordained for us. Didn't he say, I came to give you life and life more abundantly? He came to give us an abundant life. In the Greek, that means he came to give us a life with the advantage. Because we are saved and born again by the power of God, we are children of God, we live life with an advantage. We live from a place of victory in Jesus Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. So here are some statistics. An average person is focused on 40% of things that will never happen, 30% of things about the past they can't change, 12% of things about criticism by others, mostly untrue, 10% about health, which gets worse with stress, and 8% about real problems that will be faced. So it is like living in the what ifs, and it's just this vicious circle that can go on within our minds and cause a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. And so what God is calling us to do is make an investment every day in the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto us. There are so many mental health problems in the world today. People are so stressed out, so much anxiety. You can see the depression upon people. Yesterday, I really enjoyed getting out in the crowd and just sitting with people. And as soon as I would sit down, people would start pouring their hearts out. Because people want, they need Jesus. They need someone to talk to. They need help. They're looking someplace for answers. And so Jesus is the answer. You know, the answers are in the Spirit. His word is Spirit and it is life. It is the only thing that can heal us and restore us and set our minds free. Praise God. What an opportunity to be with so many people. Thank you, Jesus. You know, lives were changed. People's lives were touched. Many people knew Jesus Christ that I sit down to talk to. But just those moments that I was with them, you know, even though you know Jesus, sometimes you need someone to come along that will encourage you in the Lord. You got to be encouraged in the Lord. We're not on top of our game all the time. I don't know if you are, but there's times I need encouragement in the Lord because I need that charge. You get that charge from one another. That's how God designed the body of Christ to come together. We are active. We are active together in the ways of the Lord and worshiping the Lord, and it gives us a charge. I get a charge on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 6:34 says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Living in the present. The present of our salvation God has given to us. So we're going to take a look today at a few things that we need to live in the present. Do you want to live in the present? You know, you can really miss your life if you're always thinking of something else. If you don't intentionally get into the present, you know, it's just like right now, you're sitting here. Some of you, your bodies are here, but are you here? Have you ever sat in a classroom? Your body's there, but your mind is someplace else. We have to train ourselves to live in the present and to really engage ourselves. So living in the present is to be aware, alert, and advancing. So to live in the present, you must be aware. Aware is that you're watchful. You're looking for God in your life. It means you're awake. You know, you're not sleeping in class, daydreaming in class. And when God calls on you, you're ready to respond. Have you ever been in a class and a teacher calls on you for an answer and you've been daydreaming and you don't even know what the question is? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it happened to me a few times, probably more than a few. Because your mind is going someplace else. It's active. Your body's there. But you know, we have to be aware that God might be trying to speak to us. He might be trying to show us something when we're out and about, or show us something in our family with our children. God shows you the needs of your family. God shows you your own needs. Is that right? He begins to speak to your heart. And sometimes we think he's sharing something with us to tell somebody else when really he's speaking to you to talk to you. You know, that's one of the things we learn in the prophetic class. When you get a word from the Lord, you better check with the Lord and see if it's for you first before you go and share it with somebody else. Hallelujah. Because God, 95% of the time, is talking to you. Yeah, he's concerned about you. He's concerned about your situation, and he knows things in your heart that you don't even know yourself. Hallelujah. But when he begins to reveal them, we need to be aware of what God is doing. William James said, compared with what we ought to be, most of us are half awake. We miss opportunities. We miss those divine appointments. And so then we just forfeit the supernatural experiences that we've been praying for. And all of this is vital in our lives. And we need to begin to just capture the essence of God. And what is God attempting to accomplish in us? But if we're half awake, we're not present to capture them. So we have missed opportunities. And as you raise a family, as you work with family, you know, family is your first ministry. Hallelujah. Is that right? Taking care of your own household, that is your first ministry. And before you, if you can't do that, then the scripture says don't try to do anything else. Because you have to take care of your own house first. And so as you're doing that, God wants us to be aware. He doesn't want us to miss those moments in our family. He doesn't want us to miss those moments that he's speaking intimately to each one of us. We don't want to look back with regrets. So we can look in the scriptures and find so many places where opportunities were missed. And one of the main ones is God ordered Moses to send 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan. And I'm going to read this. Numbers 13, verse 2 says, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, and every one a chief among them." Now, they didn't pick just anybody to go. These spies were the chiefs of their families. They were heads of tribes. They were the leaders that were picked to go. They were specially picked to go to scout out the land and to come back with their report. So it's important to know it wasn't a random group of men, but it was people that were well thought of. And so these spies went to search out the land and to come back and give a report. And when they came back to Moses and Aaron, they each gave a report. And it's important to remember that each spy had seen the same things when they were spying the land. They each saw the same thing. They all saw the people groups. They saw the Anak and the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. Also, they all saw the land. And it was flowing with milk and honey. It was the promised land. They saw the fruit that was there. This was the promise that God was giving to the children of Israel. And after 40 days of investigation and searching, they came back with their reports. And this is the report. Numbers 13, 27 to 28. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw descendants of Anak." And so the children of Israel said, we're just like grasshoppers in their sight because they are so huge. So here's the faith report. That's the doubting report. Here's the faith report from Caleb. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" So it was a totally different perspective. Doesn't the scripture say that Caleb was of a different spirit? We're of a different spirit than the spirit of the world. We are to have a faith report, the doubt report. "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, the descendants of Anak from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" So two groups of people speaking totally different languages. One group spoke with faith and one group spoke with doubt. And so I got into my Dakes Bible. Does anybody have a Dakes? Yeah, I like that Dakes Bible. It's one of the first published Pentecostal Bibles. And it was published, I think, in like 1960s. And it has a lot of lists in it. If you have the Dakes Bible, it can take you through a lot of different studies. But it's from a Pentecostal view. But the language of doubt, this is what Dakes said. The language of doubt was, we saw them, we're not able, and we're not as strong as they are. Language of faith, we're well able. The Lord will bring us into the land and give it to us. The giants are bred for us. They are defenseless. The Lord is with us. Do not fear. Two totally different reports. 10 people doubting. 2 people believing what God said could be done. And so the question is, are we going to listen to the masses with the language of doubt? Or are we going to listen to the report of faith and believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has said to us? He said we can overcome this world. He said that we are more than conquerors. He said that we are living from a place of victory, not defeat. Can we trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Will we trust him? Will we believe the report of the Lord? Or are we going to speak a doubt report? Because so many times people speak their doubt report and undo everything they just spoke in faith. 12 tribes. And these men were picked as chief leaders, which shows you that if you're not careful who your leader is, you may end up going off the road. Because leaders influence people. And if they get off track, we're talking about 10 leaders in the children of Israel that are pulling the tribes the wrong direction. And only 2. And you know what? People believe the worst first. Isn't that true? They will believe a bad report, and for some reason, people love to tell bad news. Is that right? That's how they report it. Let's go on here. Because, you know, the 10 that didn't believe the report of the Lord, they all died in the wilderness. Numbers 14:36-37 says, now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. God's leaders must not cause doubt to rise up in the hearts of people through the language of doubt. Zig Ziglar said, we don't live alone. Our actions and deeds affect other people, many of whom we will never know. We have to be awake and ready to act on God's opportunities and his divine appointments. We have to learn how to speak this language of faith and not this language of doubt. And it comes naturally to us to look on God's opportunities with our own eyes and say, it's impossible. It cannot be done. There's no way that could work. But that's the language of doubt. And if we are going to live in the present, if we are going to live in the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us, we want to be able to recognize the incredible things that God can do in our hearts and in our lives and allow the Lord God Almighty to work in us and through us. Somebody say amen. I had the opportunity over this last week on Tuesday. I taught a class for a Bible college in India, and there were 86 students in class on Zoom. And so I love that I got to stay here in America and teach internationally. but teaching them about the generational curses and the sins of the father that are passed from generation to generation, and equipping them to be able to pray with people and to set them free from the generational curses. And so it was amazing. I will never meet all of those people personally, but the word of the Lord has gone out, and the word of the Lord continues to be fulfilled in my life to teach internationally. And I thank God for that. I thank God for those opportunities. And I just thank the Lord for every one of those students. This week, we're going to do some equipping and training. And Zoom is wonderful because you can have breakout groups, and you can go in and visit each group and see how they're doing. And just teaching them about breaking not only generational curses, but also ungodly beliefs and also soul ties. Those unholy soul ties that you have formed with toxic people. You've got to cut them off. You've got to cut them off and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take from you all of that baggage that you've been carrying around from being in that relationship. Somebody say amen. Amen. These are all things that happen in the spirit. So many people do not understand everything that goes on in the soul and the spirit. But it is time for us to arise, because we are called to be a spiritual people. We talk a different language. We have a language of faith. And we see fruit from it. We see people healed, delivered, and set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Leonard and I went and ministered to a young woman that was in a mental lockdown, because she was wanting to commit suicide, taking her life. And so they put her in an institute, and her dad called us, and we went in and we began to pray with her. Well, we found out she had had so many sexual relations with so many men that she was connected to all of these people in the spirit realm, and it was pulling on her soul and it was weighting her down. And you know, as she began to repent of those relationships and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive her, God began to break off those soul ties. He began to lift those demons out of her, and he set her free. And the next day she went home from the mental institute. So I'm telling you, God is able. The world is looking for a solution. They're looking for medications to take care of people. But what they need is Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual problem that our nation is facing. That is what is going on. And we've got to be the church and arise, because we have what it takes to be able to be free, because we have Jesus Christ, and he's already given us the victory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! That's not in my notes. Hallelujah. So to live in the present is to be alert. And this is very similar to being awake, but it brings in another aspect, because one definition of alert is this: quick to perceive and to act. In other words, you see it and you act on what you're seeing quickly. Yesterday at the event, there were several different people that I just went and sat down with, because I knew they needed somebody to help de-escalate them and help give them some peace and calm so that they would be ready to receive the gospel message. You've got to be aware of just the very presence in God, and you're sitting down just to be kind to someone. I didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord," to anyone. I just sat down beside them and began to share the love of Jesus, because it just begins to flow out of you. And praise God. Praise God. The atmosphere was charged with the presence of the Lord. The Lord woke me up early on Saturday morning, and it was just like I could see the atmosphere charged with angelic hosts in that park. The angels of the Lord went ahead of us, and they had prepared the atmosphere, and it was charged. And we saw one young man come in, and he was acting out, and he was manifesting off across behind where we were having the event, and he was going to it. He was battling something that we could not see, but he could see, and he was fighting against something. And I just began to pray, and Judy began to pray, and Justin, and we were just praying, because the enemy was not going to come up and act out, because the enemy will try and take everyone's attention. He's a distractor. He's a distractor. And he'd come up and take away. And I said, Lord, just give me wisdom to pray. And I remembered when Bishop was here in 2020, he prophesied over me and he said, you are a 3-star general in this territory. And the Lord reminded me, I said, okay, Lord, I take that position in the name of Jesus. And the enemy is not going to distract. He is not going to disrupt. And he is not going to use this person who has been obviously under drugs for many years and his mind wasted. And the devil will use them for his work. And I bound it up in the name of Jesus. And I said, you're not going to use this man. And he walked right up and he came right up right in the front. And he kept standing right where Wendy was, you know. And so I asked Wendy, I said, move over here and see if it's specifically because of where you're standing. She moved over this way, and he didn't move. And I said, okay, all right, so something's going on here. And I just began to pray and intercede. He was quiet. He wasn't acting out like he was, because he really could have put on a show in front of all those people. I mean, he was taking his shirt off, putting his shirt on, and going like this, and doing all kinds of things before the event started. But the Lord had a peace and a calm that came over him. And he stood right in the front. And pretty soon, I was over standing next to Justin. We were praying. And this young man, he looked at us, and he smiled. And he walked right up on the platform, and he kept walking. And he came over, and he stood next to us. And so, you know, I left Justin with him. I just stepped away a little bit so whatever needed to happen could happen between him and Justin. And he just began to talk to him. And Justin said he never could really get any sense out of him. But, you know, I believe the young man sensed the presence of the Lord. And he was drawn by the Spirit of God. And God brought him up and put him in a place. And he watched over him. He contained him. And I don't know what happened in the young man's life. But at the end of the event, Judy fed him. She's given him food. And he was all smiles. And he was grateful. He was peaceful. Isn't that something? So we don't know exactly what goes on in the spirit, in the unseen, but we know that the Lord was working in people's lives and drawing them to Him. And so it's about being quick and to perceive and to act. We've got to act when we know what to do. And that's what Caleb did. Caleb saw the bigger picture. He understood what God could do. And so, you know, at any moment that you focus on the problems, you fail to see the bigger picture of who God is and what He's trying to give you. You know, if we focus on all the problems and all the little things that even can go wrong at an event, then we're going to miss the bigger picture of what God wants to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because we can struggle because of the lack of resources. We can struggle because the odds are set against us. But what we need to learn is from Joshua and Caleb, because they had a God-sized perspective of what God was able to do. God is not afraid of giants. God is not afraid of the principalities and powers in this territory. He has already defeated them. He said, Janet, step into your position and exercise the authority that I have given you over the principalities and the powers in this territory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is greater. God is greater. So to be alert means to be on the watch. You know, I'm watching God for His movements. I'm watching God for His plan. I'm watching God for what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do. I'm chasing after the Spirit of God. Woo! I don't want to be left behind. Thank you, Lord. I want to be right on the Lord's heels. I'm praying. I'm staying alert. I'm reading. I'm staying alert. I'm engaging with God. I don't want to miss one opportunity. I don't want this church to miss one opportunity that the Lord has for us to connect with the community. It may not look like you think it should look. It may not be real religious, but I'm telling you, we're making a difference in our community. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Living in the presence requires us to be alert in our spirit, because we need to be aware of the God-given opportunities and not let them pass us by. Because you know what? There's no guarantee that that opportunity is going to come again. That opportunity that you have to sit with your child and speak with your child and love on your child, those opportunities go quickly. I'm telling you, kids grow up fast. They're out of your house before you know it. And so those opportunities are precious. Don't miss those opportunities, husbands and wife, to minister to your children. We're going on here. To live in the present, you must be advancing. Advancing in the sense that you're not being idle. Your life is not like gathering dust. And I don't think there's anyone here that our lives gather dust, because we're pretty active people. But you got to dust it off. And there's many reasons why we can fail to advance. One thing is we'll say we don't have enough time. But God wants us to prioritize our time. You've got to be intentional about your time. Time just gets away from you otherwise. A lot of times I'll set a timer. I'm going to work on this for 30 minutes, and then I've got to move on to the next task. Someone was saying to me this morning, I could hear someone say, Pastor Janet, and I said, I hear you calling my name, but I've got to keep moving this morning. So I had to keep moving. You got to be on time. You got to be aware of your time. Time will slip away from you, and you can't get it back. And that's what I'm saying about raising your family and your children. And being together as husband and wife, people lose their spouses before they know it. They're gone. And it seems like it's just life is a vapor, the scripture says. Live in the moment. Live in the moment. Another thing that we'll say is we have lack of energy. Well, then my question to you, if you don't have the energy, where are you exerting your energy? Sometimes you have to do some hard work. You have to sit down and you have to evaluate. And take a look at your life and figure out what is going on. If you've been sick, if you've had surgery, of course you're going to lack some energy. But the Lord Jesus Christ will heal and restore you. When I was off so much with my knees and then with my other surgery, it's like I love that time. I took advantage of that time. If you don't have a lot of energy, maybe it's a sign to you, you need to rest and you need to restore and you need to get in the presence of God, and because he's going to charge you once again. He's going to charge you with life, because that's his report. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. But often people say, well, I just don't have the energy to do that. So where are you spending your energy? We only have so much of it, right? And you only have so much emotional energy. If you're overdoing it with emotional energy, you need to sit back, ask the Lord, am I supposed to be engaged in all of this? Because you only have so much emotional energy to spend every day. You only have so much physical energy to spend every day. We live in this body here in this earth. And there have been times when we've been on assignment that God has just given us such supernatural energy. He's given us such a charge. We haven't slowed down very much since we started, I don't think, years ago, because God does give us that charge. But there are times that we've just got to pull back and rest our bodies and rest our souls and find that place of peace. So I encourage you, evaluate, take a look at your life. What are you spending your energies on, and what are you spending your time on? You can waste so much time online. You can waste so much time on the internet or watching TV. I was always at the eye doctor this last week, and for my yearly exam, and he said, well, do you have any problems watching TV? And I said, no, because I don't watch TV. And he kept asking me all these questions. I said, okay, I'll just tell you. I'm on my computer and studying, and I'm reading a lot of books, and that's what I do. And my glasses are working great for that. And so, you know, but a lot of the questions he asked, I just, you know, I don't participate. I don't know what to tell you because it's a waste of time. So many things are a waste of time. If it doesn't have an eternal value, I just make up my mind, I'm not going to do this. Investing in people has eternal value. Investing in studying the Word of God, it has eternal value. And so you have to be intentional and take a check and look at yourself. And then lack of creativity. You know, we're supposed to nurture our creative abilities. That actually gives you passion, gives you energy. When you nurture your creative abilities, whatever they are, whether it's drawing or it's singing or playing an instrument or whatever, or building something. You know, Leonard loves to build something. He repairs something and he has more energy and he's ready to go repair something else. Hallelujah. I think he repaired something for Trish this Saturday. He was so excited. Her clothes hanger thing was broken. He says, I fixed that. And he's all charged up, you know, ready to find something else to repair. That's creative ability. You know, it's let the abilities that God has given you, let them produce. Because you know what? They can make you some money, too. That's why God gave them to you also. Did you know that? It's okay to make money. He's given us the ability to make wealth, to establish his kingdom here on the earth. So whatever creative ability that God's put on the inside of you, you know what? It will bring an income and an increase to you and will bless you. Does somebody believe that? Y'all are looking at me. I'm telling you, that works. That's work. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I know it works. Hallelujah. Let that creative ability that God's given you flow. It recharges you. And then there's lack of faith. And often we lack faith because we don't practice using our faith. You know, sometimes we just take things that come at us and go, oh, well, it is what it is. How many times do you hear that? I heard it so many times this weekend. Well, it is what it is. No, no, there's something we can pray about here. It's not what it is. We can pray about it and ask God to help us. Ask God to intervene and find out what the Word of God says about that, because it isn't is what it is. Come on. Do you believe me? That is a bad thing to say. If you've been saying it, repent. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Exercise your faith. Practice your faith. Believe for something. You know, I've been walking with Stephanie. She's got a lot of faith. She believes in God. She trusts God. And you know, God is coming through for her. And I praise God for her, because it just gives me such a joy to see someone walk in faith and see God answer her prayers. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Don't you just love it? I love it, our family of God here, when we trust the Lord to do what we cannot do for ourselves. But we're not going to settle for less, because that's not what God told us to settle for. It isn't is what it is. God has more. Tell your neighbor God has more. You guys are getting quiet on me. This is the last one. Lack of resources. Often we don't move on what God is asking us to do because of lack of resources. And when I was thinking about this, I was just reminded that 27 years ago in August is when we went out that summer in June to have our first Love in Action program. We hadn't opened a church. But the Lord said to start our church with 10 weeks of outreach into the inner city. And so we had a group of people, mostly our family and a few friends and the Denlingers, hallelujah. And we did our first Love in Action. And you know what? The Lord says, use what you have. And so what did we have? Leonard had a red pickup truck. That probably doesn't surprise you, right? He's always had a red pickup truck. He had his red pickup truck. I had a piano amp. And we had a nice big boombox. You remember the big old boomboxes, those great big old things you carry around? Well, we hooked the boombox up to the piano amp and put it in the back of his truck. And after we had prayer walked that area for about 3 months, and the street pastors had gone in and started meeting people, well, we would take the truck down and we would drive through there to announce that it was time for Love in Action. And the kids came running. The kids gathered at the park and the parents gathered at the park, and God would show up every week there in the park down on 5th Street, down in the hole here in Indiana. The presence of the Lord would sweep through that neighborhood. And you know what the police said after we had been in there for 10 weeks? There was less shootings in there. We were in there over 10 years and we saw crack houses close, drug houses close, people healed, delivered, and set free. And it was such a transit neighborhood, people coming and going. There was always new people to minister to down there, to share the good news and to pray for people. I'm telling you, we used what we had in our hand. We didn't have anything elaborate, but look what God has done. When you're faithful with the little, God gives you more. And you know, I was thinking about Moses. Moses, God said to Moses, what do you have in your hand? Isn't that what he said? And Moses said, I got a staff in my hand. He said, throw it down. He threw it down and it turned into a snake. And the scripture says that Moses ran off. Hallelujah. He took off. That would kind of scare you, wouldn't it? It's like, whoa, God. This is a bit much. And so then he took that back up. And you know, he used that rod throughout the time that he was with the children of Israel. Is that not the same rod he stretched out over the Red Sea? And the Red Sea opened up. And God made a way where there seemed to be no way, to deliver them from their enemies. I'm telling you this morning, someone is facing a situation and you feel like your enemies are coming against you. But the Lord God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of the generations, and I change not. And I can just stretch out my arm from heaven. And the Lord says, the enemy falls flat. And the plans fall flat in the name of Jesus. For I'm the one that delivers you from the hand of the enemy, says the Lord. So, Father, we thank you. There's no lack of resources. There is no lack in God's house. There is no lack of resources. Everything that we need, the Lord has provided us in the mighty name of Jesus. And my closing scripture is this. God's prepared us for good works. It says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. It's not what you made of yourself. I'm telling you, you hear it all the time. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. Hallelujah. You are God's workmanship. You take no credit for yourself. You may have applied yourself, but if God didn't give you the abilities to do what you do, then you wouldn't be able to do it, because we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's already set up everything that we need, even the works that we are supposed to do. So trust the Lord. You're his workmanship. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And he's already prepared the good works beforehand. Don't stress out, what good work am I supposed to do? Oh, my word, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, guess what? God is going to show you what to do. Be aware. And didn't we talk about that? Be alert. Be aware. Be looking for what God wants you to do, because we need to be awake and we need to be alert and we need to be advancing, and we will advance in those good works. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in the next 27 years with River of Life Community Church. We'll be celebrating 27 years. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I'm reaching out from the heart of the city and flowing to the nations. That's always been our tagline since we opened, because we reach out from the heart of the city. Elkhart is a city with a heart. Hallelujah. And we love Elkhart. And so reaching out from the heart of our city and flowing to the nation. God has great plans for us. It's not over, church. You know, people have said a lot of word curses against us, a lot of things against us, that it's over. We should just sell or just do this or just do that. No, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God because He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And when God is done with us, He'll let us know He's done with us. He may cause us to change locations. We don't know what He's going to do, right? But we're going to trust Him as we go along with the Lord because He's called us to reach souls, for people to be healed, delivered, set free, to be trained and taught, to raise up ministers and ministry teams that will impact our city and impact the nations. So we trust God to do all that He promised that He would do because we're living in our salvation. Come on, do you get it this morning? We're living in our salvation. Living in it. Let's all stand this morning. And Jeff's going to lead us in our closing song. And I'm just rejoicing in all that God has done. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus.